We're going to start from Kof Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah. So it says the following. Kohen Shaloko Be'etzo, again, we're still dealing with in Yonim of what's mutter in the Beis HaMikdash as opposed to if you try to do the same act, don't try this in your living room. If you try to do this outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to be mutter. So the next example is Kohen Shaloko Be'etzo, a Kohen that got some sort of wound on his finger. And as Rashi explains, it's inappropriate for him to do the avodah with an open wound, so he has to cover it. So kairakalal gemi b'mikdash. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you'd be allowed to cover it with some sort of gemi, a rubber of something on top of it, so that it's not an open wound. Avoloi b'medina, but to cover it in the Medina would be also because this is part of the regular gzeira of refuah. And you're not allowed to do it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, you're not actually doing refuah, as opposed to the next case in the Mishnah, but if the purpose is to actually motzi dam, which is a nisut d'oraisa, kan v'kan osur, it's going to be osur, because that is part of the regular case of refuah, that it's going, and it can even, well, being motzi dam is mamash nisut d'oraisa, so therefore it's going to be osur even in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so if you're dealing with something that's only osur d'rabbanan, it's going to be mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, we have some technical problems over here. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Berei de Rav Chia lo yishanu ela gemi. It's only because you're putting on this piece of rubber. It's not a real keli. It's not a real beged. That's why it's mutter. But if you're going to put like a butterfly or something where it's like a real beged, you're going to wrap around your finger, have a yiter begodim. So remember, because we're dealing with doing a kohen doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so there, and the halacha is in general that a kohen is not allowed to wear more begodim than the Torah prescribes. For example, even a kohen hedjot can't wear a kohen gadol's begodim, even though these are begodim that are supposedly mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. But lamaisa, the Torah prescribes exactly which begodim you're allowed to wear at what point. So putting on a tzitzul katan, which is technically another beged, it's not going to be permitted anyway in the Beis HaMikdash. To put on a band-aid, which is not a beged, for example, that would be mutter. That is what Rabbi Yehuda Berei de Rav Chia says. See, he makes it dependent on whether it's considered its own independent beged. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he says, no, lo yamar yita begodim ala b'malkan begodim. When did the Torah say that you can't wear extra begodim? It's only talking about if you put on something where there, you should be wearing regular begodim and you wear an extra beged, that is a problem. Avol shaloi b'malkan begodim, like on your fingers, for example, where it's not really a place that you would wear a beged, lo yaba yita begodim, it's not, no matter what you put over there, it's not going to be considered putting on an extra beged. Okay, so that's the machlokes. So the Gemara says, v'tepikle mishum chatzitza. So as we know, in general, whenever you do the avodah, as we discussed earlier, you have to be holding the avodah, you have to be doing the avodah directly, without any interruption. So why over here is it mutter to put something on your hand? You're not going to be holding on to the limbs or whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing. Our answer is besmol. You put the bandage you're putting on over here is on your left hand, so therefore that's not where you would be doing the avodah, so it's not going to, that technical problem won't be a problem. Inami b'yamin, or we can even be talking about in your right hand. B'shaloi b'mokam avodah, it's on, let's say, on the tip of your finger where you're not actually touching any of the limbs, where it's not coming into contact with your hand, so therefore it's not going to be a problem. But you're right, it has to be in a way that it wouldn't otherwise be something that you would use for the avodah. Upligi de Rabba. But this statement, as we're about to see, argues, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that even Shalab Makam Avodah is totally mutter, argues on Rabba's statement. Amar Rabba. Because Rabba says, Amar Rav Chista B'makam B'godim. Rabba says, according to Rav Chista, if you're putting something B'makam B'godim, Afilu Nima Achas Chatzetzas. Even one string is a chatzitza. Now Rashi says it doesn't necessarily mean a chatzitza, it's a riboy begodim, but it's less than a beged, so it can't be the iser of riboy begodim. In any event, even one string is a problem. Shalom b'makam begodim, but if you're dealing with an area where you wouldn't otherwise do the avodah, shalosh al shalosh chatzetzas, if it's a beged that has a 3x3, then already it qualifies as a chatzitza. Pachas mishalosh al shalosh en a chatzetzas. So if it's not, then if it's less than 3, it's not considered a chatzitza because it's not a real beged. This is talking about in a makam where you wouldn't be doing a avodah. So the Gemara makes a statement that L'chayra, Rava argues. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ada Rabbi Yochanan Vade Pligir. So on Rabbi Yochanan Shita, the Rabbi Yochanan says, even B'makam B'godim, you need a 3x3. The way Rabbi Yochanan defines it is B'makam B'godim versus not B'makam B'godim. He doesn't say it depends on the size. So that argues on Rava, because even Rava says that even B'makam B'godim, you need a beged. Sorry, even b'makam begodim, even less than a beged is already going to be a problem. So that argues on Rabbi Yochanan that says, that argues on Rabbi Yochanan that says that you need it to be a beged shaloi b'makam avoida. So the question is, though, Rabbi Yochanan vaday pliga. Vaday argues on Rabbi Yochanan shita. The Rabbi Yehuda bereid the Rabbi Chia may name a pliga. But does Rava's statement that says it depends on whether it's from makam avoda or not from makam avoda argue on Rabbi Yehuda bereid the Rabbi Chia that says that it's only by a tzilzul katan where it's a beged that's going to be a problem? And he's talking about even in shaloi b'makam avoda, right? Because we explained that we're talking about it's on the tip of your finger, on your left hand, or something like that. So do Rava and Rabbi Yehuda bereid the Rabbi Chia argue or not? So the Gemara answers they don't argue. Why? Shani tzilzul katan the choshev. Really, shaloi b'makam beged. It really needs a beged, like Rava says, in order to be a problem. And over here, the reason why it's tzilzul katan is a problem because in it itself also is similar to a beged. It's choshev like a beged, so it becomes like a beged, and that's why it's a problem. But anachanami, if it's not considered a makam choshev and it's shaloi b'makam beged, then it needs a real beged in order to be a problem. That's one way to learn the Gemara. Lishna Achlina's second version of this Gemara is that to be explained, the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda bereid Rav Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan slightly different, and that is like this. Lishna Achlina Amar Lei Rabbi Yehuda bereid Rav Chiya Loishanu El Gemi. Again, this first sheet is actually the same. The only time it's mutter in the Beis Hamikdash is if you put on this rubber like a bandage, like a tzitzel cotton. But if you put on like a cloth beged, so then choytzitz is going to be a problem. Again, similar to what he said before, because then it has a din beged. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Shita totally changes. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Loi amru chatzitza b'pachas mishalash al shalosh." When did we say that even less than 3x3 is a problem? Ela b'mokin begodim. So, if it's in a place where you would normally wear begodim, even less than 3, exactly. By the way, like Rava that says anima achas, even less than 3 is going to be a problem. Al shaloi b'mokin begodim. But if it's not in an area where you would normally wear begodim, shalosh al shalosh chatzitzas, then you need what would be defined as a beged in order for it to be a problem. Pachas mishalash al shalosh en chatzitzas. But less than 3 is not considered a chatzitza because it's not a beged and it's not a b'mokin beged, so it's totally mutter. Behind the Rav, and that's exactly the same thing as Rav. So according to, if you learn this version, so then it's going to be totally mutter if it's not a beged, shaloi b'mokin begadim. But if it's weird, kainim normally would wear begadim, and a chanami, even less than a beged would be a problem. Amar Rav Chista, so the Gemara continues and says, Lema pligi de Rabbi Yehuda berei de Rav Chia. Again, similar, why don't we say now that Rava argues on Rav Chia berei de Rav Chia, that again said that a gemi is okay, but a tziltzul katan is always going to be a problem. The Gemara answers, yeah, we agree to that, because shani tziltzul katan the choshev, even though it's less than 3x3, but still it's defined like a beged because it's choshev. So again, Rava would agree that even shaloi b'mokah and begodim, even where they don't normally wear begodim, but if it's considered like a beged, it's going to be a problem. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says now that it's always going to be mutter shaloi b'mokah beged. Sa'ade ashmina nam egemi lashmina tziltzul katan. Why doesn't he even say tziltzul katan, which is like a beged, and even that's going to be mutter? So why doesn't he use that example according to Rabbi Yochanan? Why didn't he use that as the example in the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, you're right, it could have. But milsa agavorcha kamash malon. The Mishnah is actually just trying to teach us a separate side point. The gemi masi. That a gemi, that this rubber band or whatever it is, has the ability of actually healing the wound. So it's not coming to the din that anything less than a baguette is mutter. That's true, and we could have used other examples, but by using the example of the rubber band or whatever, the band-aid, so that it heals, that's a separate additional halacha that we're teaching that it's going to be mutter. Okay. Next halacha, very interesting halacha. Boyuskin melach, which Rashi explains means that they crushed certain salt. Al-gabe kevesh, they used to put salt on the ramp, b'shvil shelo yachliku, so that it shouldn't be smooth and slippery. So this is talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, the ramp was, you know, very, had a sharp angle, and if you're walking up on the ramp, you could slip if it was wet, so they used to put salt down to either absorb the water or to make it bumpy so that people wouldn't slip. That's one halacha the Mishnah teaches us. Umamalin, and the second halacha the Mishnah teaches us, mibar hagoyla, that's the name of a bar. When we bar hagadol, also in a name of a bar. Begalgal, you're allowed to use a wheel. You're allowed to use, what are the wheels called on a well? A pulley system, right? You're allowed to use a pulley system b'Shabbos. You're even allowed to do that on Shabbos. When we bar a car, b'yontif. And on this special well that the Gemara will discuss what well this was exactly, but that well was even mutter on Shabbos, and we'll see why not on, excuse me, it was mutter on Yontif, but for some reason wasn't mutter on Shabbos, and we'll see why in a minute. Now, so let's first talk about what this business of crushing the salt is. Rami lei Rav Ika mi pashrunya l'rova. So Rav Ika asked Rav a question. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, voiskin melech agabayek hevesh, that your lattice crushed salt on top of the ramp bishvil shalayach liku, so that people didn't slip a mikdash that in the Medina loy. So if we're talking about the ramp of the Mizbeach, obviously we're only allowing this in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash would be also. I ask you a stira, because it says, if you have a courtyard, this is now talking about in your house, that got all rained and muddy, so maybe Tevin, you're allowed to bring straw, Mardaba, and you're allowed to stamp on it out in the courtyard, and it to make it mutter so that you don't get ruined from the mud in your backyard. So we see that you're allowed to put down other things, even in the Medina, you're allowed to fix up a slippery, rainy area. So the Gemara answers, Shani Tevin Delay Mavatale. The difference is that outside of the Medina, you're not really leaving it there, because it's still going to be able to be used, let's say, because you're going to use the Tevin for building construction, so even if it gets stamped on or trampled on, you're not going to leave it there, you're going to take it away. As opposed to the salt on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Kevesh, once you trample it and you crush it like that and it gets wet, not really going to be able to use the salt for anything else. So l'chayr, you're going to leave it there, and that's why that to be mavatal or mashveh gumos, to straighten out the ground, would be a problem with something you're going to leave there. And that's why salt would be a problem outside of the Beis HaMikdash, because you would leave it there because it had no use afterwards. But Tevin, where you're going to use it afterwards, it's not going to be a problem. He says, what exactly are you going to do with the salt? How is it mutter? So we just said the difference is that in the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to leave it there so they don't care. But outside it would be a problem. But if you're going to really leave it there on the ramp, the problem is now you're making that part, you're leaving it on the ramp, it becomes part of the ramp. And the pasuk says, that David HaMelech, when he figured out the proportions and the measurements of each one of the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, had a very precise measurement. And if you're going to leave salt there, it's not going to be exactly the way the Torah prescribed the measurements of the kelim. And if you're not going to leave it there, so then it's not part of the ramp, and now when you climb up the ramp, you're actually not stepping on the ramp as you're supposed to. You're going to be stepping on the salt, which again is going to be a problem, like we learned earlier. So the Gemara answers, you're right. You can only time you can put the salt there is when you're carrying, it's not when you're doing avoida on the ramp, but rather you're just carrying up the limbs, so it's not really a chelik of the avoida. The avoida is burning it on the mizbeach, not carrying it necessarily up to the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, that's not part of the avoida, but the pasuk says, that the kohen himself has to bring it up onto the mizbeach and bring it and burn it on the mizbeach. So that Rashi points out the fact that the Torah requires that dafka a kohen does it, that means it's defined as avoida. So if it's defined as avoida, then having the salt on the ramp is going to be considered a chatzitza, va'omar mar. And we learned, zuhay lechas avarim lekevesh, that pasuk is referring to exactly this point of bringing the limbs up on the ramp itself. So it is an avoida, so why is it mutter to have salt there? So Gemara says, ala eimo, bahay lechas eitzim lamar rocho, it's only talking about bringing up the wood, which bringing up the wood itself, the hakrava of the eitzim, even if putting the eitzim on the fire may be an avoida, but bringing them to the fire is not in itself, of itself an avoida. Delab avoidahi, that's not an avoida, that's mutter. So this whole Mishnah that says that you're allowed to leave salt on the ramp is only talking about when you're not doing an avoida. But anytime you're doing the avoida, anachanami, you're not allowed to have salt up on the ramp. Okay, now going back to the halacha that's outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Darsh Rava, so Rava darshit. Chatzosh and Eskalkalub and Megisharm, you have a courtyard that got all muddy with rain. Maybe Tevin and Mardaba, you're allowed to bring straw and put it down on to absorb the water in the courtyard. Amalei Rav Papa, the Rava, so Rav Papa says, V'hatani, we looked in a brisa, kashu Marda, ain't a Marda loy basal, v'loy bakupa. You're not allowed to put it down the way you would do it during the week. This is a weekday problem. This is a derech sha'isa b'chol. You can't bring it in a basket or in a box. The only way you're allowed to mat it down is on the back of using the back of a pail. So you can't do it the way you would normally do it during the week. So hadar ukam Rava amayra ale. So Rava brought an interpreter with him. In other words, the way they used to give drashas in those days was, the Amoiru would give the shir quietly to the person standing next to him, and the person next to him would be like the loudspeaker and would say it. So Rava called in his speaker for him, Vidarish, and he darshan to the tibur, Devarim Shamarti Lefnechem Toyishem Biyodei. He says, what I told you earlier was a mistake. broom. But here's what I really meant to say. Kach amar mishum Rabbi Elazar, this is what they said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, kashu mordo, when he puts down the straw, ene mordo loy besav, loy bekupa, you know how to bring it in the normal way with a basket or a box. Ela beshule kupa, you can only pat it down with using the back of the basket or whatever it is, which is not the normal way you would do it during the week, and that's why it's mutter. And, of course, not forgetting the fact that you're not going to leave the straw there, so it's not become bottle, so you're not being mashve gumois, so you're not doing anything asur deraisa, and you're not even leaving it there, you're not even doing it the way you would do it during the week. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah was, you're allowed to fill up water from these wells using a pulley system. So Ula Ikla Lebe Rav Menashe. Ula went to Rav Menashe's yeshiva. Osa Ahu Gava. This person came. Taraf Abava. He knocked on the door. Omar. So Ula said, Man Hai Leschol Gufei. Who's this guy destroying his body? To Hakam Mechol Le LeShabbato. Because he's being Mechal Shabbos by knocking on the door. He's Mashmi'a Kol. He's making noise, and making noise on Shabbos is going to be also. We'll see when. So who is this guy that's being Mechal Shabbos? Omale Rabba. So Rabba says, Lo Yosra El Kol Shal Shir. It's only Yosra if you're making music. You know, you're playing music on Shabbos. That's going to be a problem. But Stam to be knocking where it's not in any particular pattern. In fact, it's trying to make noise as opposed to be calm, as we'll see in the Gemara in a second. So then it's going to be Mutter. That's what the Gemara says. Aisvei Abayis. Abayis asks a question. It says, Malin Bidyufi, you're allowed to, what does this mean?
The siphon.
Oh, right. When they poured from one barrel of wine to another barrel of wine, they used to use like these straws to siphon off the wine into another barrel of wine. Umatifin meyarik lechayla, and you're allowed. Right, they used to have this narrow keli, and it had holes in it, and they used to turn it upside down so that when things dripped on it, it used to make noise. And when the water went through it, went through the holes, it used to make noise, and it was very loud. And they used to do this to wake up a sick person b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "L'chayla in l'bari loy." So it's only mutter because the person's sick. So, but for a healthy person, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. So again, now this noise over here is not talking about noise that is just stam noise. It's not music. So, and even so, it's going to be usher for a healthy person. Hechi dami. Lav denai, and we're talking about where the person is falling asleep, where the person is sleeping, and you're trying to wake him up. And so that means, now by definition, you know what your alarm clock sounds like. If it's a nice calming sound, it doesn't wake you up. So it has to be this loud, noisy sound, and even so, it's asr. Shema mino alude kala asr. So we see that making noise, even any noise on Shabbos, is going to be asr. So the Gemara answers, loy, detir. The case is that the guy is awake, and we want the person to go to sleep. Because that will sound like a pleasant, a peaceful musical sound, and that's why it's also. So to make music on Shabbos is going to be also. So the case is where you have, you know, what we guess nowadays we call the noise machines. So noise machines on Shabbos, to make these noise machines are going to be also. I'm not paskening, but that's what the Gemara seems to say. So that's going to be a problem. So again, I'll ask you a stira. Hamishamer peiroisov mipnei ha'oifois. A person is watching he's out in the field watching his fruits, his field, from birds. V'duluov and his cucumbers. Mipnei ha'chaya, from wild animals. So hamishamer kedarka b'Shabbos. You're allowed to be out there on the field on Shabbos and chase away the animals. U'bavad shalai yispike, as long as you don't, yispike is to clap your hands while you tapeach, and you shouldn't, also,
some type of clap.
It's the front of your hands, the back of your hands, or against your chest, below your rocket, and you can't stamp with your feet. Kedar shehen oisim b'chol, the way you would do it during the week. In other words, you're not allowed to make noise. My time allowed to become oilud kolo, because you're making noise. The kol oilud kolo osur, and any time you're making noise on Shabbos is osur. So we see that any kind of noise on Shabbos is osur, not just music. Amar Ravacha bar Yaakov, gezei Hashem yitol tzoror. Now, the reason over there it's a problem is only because you might pick up a rock, which is muksa, and throw it at the animal to get the animal to scamper away. But it's the issue of making the noise in and of itself is not a problem. The women playing the nut games, like what we would call marbles. They used to take the marbles and throw them at one another, and they used to make bang against when you got close to the other marble, it would bang and make a noise. So my time allowed to come oilud kol. So again, the issue of playing marbles is because it makes noise. V'chol oilud kol osur, and any type of noise is going to be osur. So the Gemara says, loy, dilma osur lash v'gumois. Now, the issue over there is not because of the noise the marbles are going to make, it's because when you play marbles, you have to play in a flat area. So you're going to end up smoothing out the ground so that you can roll the marbles properly. And that is, of course, an Issa D'Oraisa, or certainly an Issa D'Rabbanan, Mashve Gumois. The Eloi Teima Hachi. And anyway, if you don't say that, in other words, that the issue over there has nothing to do with the noise, it had to do with straightening out the ground. Ha'ada Amar Rav Yehuda, Nashim Masachkois B'Tapuchim. It says women are not allowed to play with the apples. Now, Hasamai Luda Kala, over there, the apples, when they hit each other, don't really make any noise. So it's not a noise issue. Elo Dilma Ik Osilash Viguma. So it must be the apples game. It's also a problem that they're going to smooth out the ground. So we see that the marbles, playing with the marbles, it's flattening out the ground that's the issue, not the making the noise that's an issue. Tanan. So, all right, moving to the next point. It says, Mamala Miber HaGoda, that they're allowed to fill water from the well, Mibar HaGodol, and this other well, Begalgal, using a pulley system, B'Shabbos, and it says, B'Mikdash and B'Medina Loi, that they're only allowed to do this, now, it doesn't say that on our mission, but this price says they're only allowed to do this in the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Medina. So we see that it's usher to use the pulley in the Medina, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So, my time, allowed Mishum to Eilud Kolon, you know, these pulleys make a lot of noise, and we see that it must be the reason it's usher, that the usher, it's usher because it's going to make noise. The Gemara says, no, the reason why it's usher has nothing to do with the noise factor. It's because you're going to use it inappropriately. You're going to draw water for your garden or for your churba to your empty area where you're not allowed to bring water. And that's why we prevent it. In other words, because when I have to pull the water out by hand, so it's a big tircha, I'm not going to pull out more water than I need personally, especially on Shabbos. But if I'm using a pulley system, it's very convenient. It's very easy. I end up taking out more water than I need, and I'm going to bring it to places I'm not allowed to bring. So Amemar would allow people in Mechuza to pull up water using a pulley. Omar, he said, my time, goes to Rabbanah. Because what was the whole reason that the Rabbanah made it usher in the first place? Because you're going to use it for your gardens. The city of Mechuza doesn't have gardens and it doesn't have broken down houses. It's all occupied. It's you know. So therefore, there's no reason, the reason doesn't apply. It should be mutter. However, Kivan de Kachozi, de Katari ba Bisna, he saw that people were now using water to soak flax, and that also is usher, because it's again, it's Ubda de Chol. So, usher lahu, he said it's going to be usher. So, anytime you're going to take the water out for purposes that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a pulley, because then it becomes too convenient, and you're going to end up using the water, inappropriately. Okay, next halacha, the next last line of the mission was a Miber HaKar. And from this special bear, it was only mutter on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. My bear akar. What is this special well? Amar Shmuel bar shehikru aleha dvarim, that they said things, that something happened by this bell, by this well, betiru, and they made it mutter. Because they realized when they were coming up from Golis, Rashi says that they needed the water. So they found a heter. They found a heter to make it mutter. So it was a special well that it was mutter. So but they didn't allow all the kairos, all the kairos wells. Elazubal about only this one. Now, what's pshat? If we're talking about a specific well that they got there and they needed it to be mutter, and that's why it was called Barakar, Maizubal about, what do you mean this well? If I'm talking about, you know, the Passaic River, it's saying we didn't allow all the Passaic rivers. That doesn't make any sense, because there is only, if Barakar is a specific well, then we're not talking about wells in general. We're talking about a specific well. So that can't be, pshat that it was talking about a specific well. Ella Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Ber Mayim Chaim. It means a Mayim Chaim well. Comes from a Mayim Chaim source. And that's the kind of well. It wasn't a specific well. It was in general all those kinds of wells. They said it was Mutter. Shenemar Kehikir Bir Meimeha, and that's talking about Mayim Chaim. So it doesn't mean a specific well. It means, in general, there were wells that had a source of water in them, and they said that that's going to be mutter. Gufa. But now let's go back to the original statement that we said. Loikol ha-boiris ha-kare satiru. They didn't say all Mayim Chaim wells are mutter. Elazubul vad. Only this particular well, they said that it's really mutter. So either way, at the end of the day, it was only that specific well that they were mutter in order to be able to draw water from. Ukusha olu b'nei ha-goylo chanu aleo. Because when they were coming up from Golis, they camped over there. V'nevim shebenehem, and Rashi says that Chag Zechariah Melochi were amongst them. Hitiru lahen, they said it was mutter. And the Gemara says, really, v'loy nevim shebenehem. It wasn't that they came up with a heter that was, it was really aser. Ela minig avoysam biyadeim. They already had a minig, they already had a Kabbalah from their forefathers that this be'er was mutter. And that's why they allowed them to pull out water on Yontif for that particular well. But Enachanami, if the well is going to be Osir, any other well, it's not going to be Mutter to draw the water from them on Shabbos. Okay. Well.